Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this evening is written in the 15th chapter of St. Mark's, beginning at the 18th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Then the soldiers led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple and twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. Bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And then when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear worshipers of our suffering Savior, our culture is supposed to be one of the most progressive and enlightened societies in the history of the world. That's what they say. And yet we see people declare themselves free from the oppressive religions and laws that think that they can do anything. And they do this only to oppress others with their own rules and regulations. People see themselves as saving the world from many different things, and yet they enjoy watching movies filled with killing and death. And then our society, as progressive as it is filled with people abusing drugs and sex and alcohol, which have enslaved many people into a life that is centered on themselves. They have such a life that gives no hope for this life, no hope for the future, and no love for other people. Throughout the history of the world, no matter how progressive a society might become, history shows that humans are a cruel people and can do many evil things to other people. And they have invented many ways to torture people and to abuse them and inflict pain upon others. Soldiers are tempted to despise other people and despise their life. They're trained to kill. They're trained to put people in place. They're trained to keep people from rebelling. Soldiers have power to inflict people and to afflict them with pain and suffering. And so tonight we look at our text and see in the history of Jesus, soldiers who think that cruelty is more important than Jesus. Our text shows us that the soldier despised Jesus' life, even though Jesus loved their lives. The history, the passion history that we've been reading during Lent shows three groups of soldiers who have inflicted their will upon Jesus during the trial, and especially as we heard tonight. The first, the soldiers at Jesus' trial before Annas, and Jesus answered, and one soldier struck him in the face, and other people spat on him and hit him and blindfolded him and say, "Prophesy who hit you." They did not respect Jesus at all. They were trying to show off before their superiors. The second group was the soldiers before Herod. Herod wanted a spectacle, as we said a couple weeks ago, and so they put a royal robe, a purple robe on him, and bowed down and mocked him as the king. To them, he was a fake king. But the most cruel soldiers were those of the Roman cohort, as we heard tonight. They were the ones who scourged Jesus as Pilate commanded twice, but they also mocked him as being a king. They made a crown of thorn and pushed it onto his head. For a scepter, they gave him a straw reed or a stick, nothing elegant. And then they used that stick to pound him on the head and drive in those thorns deeper into his skull. What a pitiful sight Jesus made with all of this mockery, with all this torture, even with his back lacerated from the whip. Here was somebody who claimed to be a king, but he looked nothing like a king. These soldiers, far from home, had no love for Jesus. Instead, Jesus was the object of their fun. They bowed down to Jesus and mocked him as being a sham king. Now, a soldier's life is very tedious, and very dangerous, especially a soldier in Israel, because they never knew who was going to come and attack them, because there were many people in Israel that wanted to drive the Romans out. They wanted to get rid of the Roman armies. And so they were always on alert. It wasn't easy to live in Israel and to be in constant danger. And so when Pilate had this Jew brought in front of them, it was, and he had no power, no following, why not make fun of him? Why not do the cruel things that they knew how to do to increase his pain and suffering? All they saw was an itinerant preacher. They regarded him as a rebel who had lost his followers. And so they were cruel, both mentally and physically. Now we could ask, had we been those soldiers on that day, would we have done the same thing to Jesus? Or we could even say, would we have followed the crowd and cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," as we heard in our history? We can't answer those questions because we weren't there. We don't know what we would do. But there is a way in which we can be cruel to Jesus in the way we treat one another, other people. Prejudice is a sin of hatred. God's word says, "He who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." When we despise other people, we are despising people whom Jesus created and gave life to. Social media seems to abound in hateful words, and have we participated in that type of activity? Many young people have committed suicide because of the hateful words that have been directed at them. As God's children, we should not participate in such evil or encourage others, even when those people are the enemies of the truth. We're still to love them. Failure to stop gossiping is cruelty to our neighbors. Giving others stress by being rude to them or hateful speech is a sin against the fifth commandment, because being rude, causing stress, is harming our health and therefore shortening our life. Have we been cruel to a spouse or a child or a neighbor? Do we take pleasures in hurting others as long as we can get away with it? Or are we indifferent to the words and actions of others and just don't care about whatever anybody else does and have no interest in others? And we can even ask, are we judging fellow church members as hypocrites or people that are below us because they're not as good as we are? Now, we may not think of ourselves as cruel. However, failure to help others is also a sin when we don't use our time and talents and treasure in helping others. We would be like those soldiers in failing to help and then mistreating them. The soldiers judge Jesus as being no king at all. And so in their fun, they thought he was nothing. But Jesus was there to endure this because he loved those soldiers as well as loving us. Now, Jesus had many human reasons to react to the cruelty that he was experiencing from the soldiers, from Pilate and Herod, and later on to the cross. Jesus had divine power. He could have simply used that power to destroy all of these people and to rid himself of this pain. St. Peter says, when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to one who judged righteously. In this way, Jesus kept the law of love even for us who have broken that law so many times. He even kept the law for those who were his enemies, who mistreated him so cruelly. Throughout his life, Jesus demonstrated his love and concern for others. He had compassion on the sick and the oppressed. He healed the lame, the deaf, and the blind. He drove demons out of the people, and he healed Malchus's ear that Peter had cut off. Even though Malchus was there to take him and bind him and take him before the high priest, he still showed kindness to Malchus and showed his divine power, that if he could heal Malchus, he could do anything to stop what was going on. Not only did Jesus heal their bodies of the people, he also cared for their souls. His preaching was meant to have people believe on him as the King, as the Messiah, but most importantly, as the Savior. But then as the Savior, God put Jesus on the cross. Yes, God used the evil of these men, soldiers, kings, people, they were all responsible. God used them in order to carry out his plan, his loving plan, to bring us salvation. The cruelty of the soldiers was all just part of the suffering Jesus had to bear in order to be our Savior. Here we see, as the hymn says, how great our sins are. Here we see what the price of sin is. It isn't just something that we can ignore or that it will go away. Sin is an offense to God. It must be paid for. It must be taken care of. And the only way this could happen is for Jesus to suffer the cruelty, to be nailed to a cross, to suffer death for us. Because he is God, he was able to suffer in our place, to pay the penalty of our sins, so that God can forgive every one of our sins. And this is the love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus paid the ransom for sinners, for you and for me. Today, the unbelieving world still likes to torture Jesus. They are offended by his death as a criminal on a cross. They ridicule Jesus as a failed prophet. They mock God's offer of forgiveness, thinking that they can earn their own way into heaven by works. And in oppressing others, the world does not understand that they are despising those who Jesus died for. Since God calls us to believe in him, to know him as the King, our King and Savior, he wants us also to know our love for one another. Because Jesus died for all people, love for Jesus means that we love other people. As Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love means that we desire our enemies to be in heaven, that we pray for them, that we care about them, even though they despise Jesus and treat us cruelly. Love also means that we serve one another. St. Paul says, don't set your mind on high things. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Jesus overcame evil by his death on the cross. To the world, it looked like evil. It looked like Jesus suffered and couldn't do anything. But in God's word, we see the love of Jesus, that he laid down his life for his sheep, for all people. And because of that, you and I have hope for eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. What a blessing that is, and that we live in Jesus' love. Let us therefore judge Jesus as the most important person in our life, because of all that he has done for us. And because he has shown us his love, Jesus wants us to show love to one another, to care for them, and he will bless us as we do so. He who has given us his life will carry us into eternal life because he has promised. He is God. He is the one who can do it, and we can trust in him. May the Lord bless us as we trust in him. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.